All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 99. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And it's a little bit of a lighter week here. It's dark times in the movie going world, I'd say. I don't know. First off, did you watch anything on Halloween, like horror related or?
I touched my Halloween DVD. And that was about it.
You touched it. You thought about it for a minute.
I was like, I should sit down and watch this. And then I didn't.
That's like, usually that's my go-to. I watch Halloween 1 and 2 and maybe 3. Like, at least in that, in sometime in October. But man, I don't know. I've seen them so many times. I was like, oh, I'm going to try some different stuff. I tried watching a couple things. Nothing was really pulling me in. Ended up watching Night of the Living Dead on Amazon Prime. Have you seen that movie recently?
The original one?
Yeah.
Not recently, no.
I mean, is it okay for me to say I don't think it quite holds up?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I always have thought it's like the most boring of that whole series. But like, you gotta give it respect and props for what it,
all right, I mean, it that for, you know, film was from 1968, so
yeah. But the weird thing about it is, yeah, you look at it and you go, oh, it's 1968, so it's old. But it's like, it's not a movie that feels like it's from 1968. It feels like it's from like 1931. Like it,
sure.
I think it looked and felt dated when it came out, and maybe purposely, or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But, you know, there's other movies around that time that really still feel like modern.
No, so, it definitely felt like he was modeling it after like the early horror stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, from the black and white, which is probably cheaper to shoot on, but it's that like weird opening, and
yeah, it drags too. It's just a lot of talking, and I don't know. There's parts that are like really cool and really eerie, like when it cuts to shots of the zombies outside at night, and they're like feasting on people, and like the music even changes then too, because like a lot of the movie, the music, it sounds like a super old movie. The music, and then. That all of a sudden, when it's like some of the more horror parts, it sounds cool. Like the soundtrack's good, but
yeah.
Like overall, like man, that's a rough watch. Like, my girlfriend fell asleep with it, and honestly, I don't blame her. Like, I was like looking at my phone half the time, kind of bored by it. And there's some like really rough edits, like cuts in it. Like, it just feels like they are piecing together, like there's like footage missing at parts or something. And the one I watched, it was on Amazon Prime, and it said it was like digitally remastered, like blah blah blah. Like, it looks and sounds like dog shit. Like, there's got to be, I would imagine, a much more cleaned up version than whatever the hell Amazon has got going on.
But sure,
like. To me, it did not look or feel really remastered. It didn't look clean or anything. But yeah, anyways, that was Halloween. It's come and gone. We'll try to do something better next time. But yeah, I just couldn't get into anything that I was watching. Like, I turned on stuff on TV, and I don't know.
Yeah, I guess AMC was running a Halloween marathon, but...
Yeah, I caught some of that. I watched a little bit of Halloween 2, which is I still think that that's a good, fun movie. But
yeah, I love Halloween 2.
Yeah. Well, anyways, moving along. Yeah, hopefully next year. I don't know. I plan better because I just went into it going, I'm gonna watch some shit. I think at one point. Oh yeah, at one point I was planning to watch Jason Takes Manhattan because I was like, you know, I haven't seen this movie in a while. Like, man, it's super cheesy. I was kind of in the mood for it. I got as far as putting the Blu-ray into my Xbox, and I think I watched like the making of thing and then said, nah, all right, never mind. Fair enough. Anyways, though, we have seen some stuff in the last week. I'll start it off with saw that movie Nerve.
Yeah.
Which stars, is it Dave Franco?
Yeah, Dave Franco and Emma Roberts.
Yeah, yeah. And it's from the directors of Catfish, which you and I both know. I love Catfish. They actually went on to do Paranormal Activity 3 and 4. This almost feels like it feels in the vein of something like Catfish. Like, definitely feels like a right fit for them to be directing this. Like, they get the whole social media thing.
Yeah.
Which this movie is kind of playing off of. Well, the setup is pretty simple. It's this girl gets sucked into this online game that kind of like Truth or Dare, except it's just all dares. And you do what they tell you to do. You get money.
So there, you know. There's the option. You can either play or you can watch. And I guess watchers kind of vote on the dares that the players do. And if you're playing, like you're playing and you're upping your money total every time you complete a dare.
Yeah. And then I guess like at the end of a 24-hour period, there's some logistic problems in this, but at the end of a 24-hour period, the game ends, I guess, and whoever has the most watchers is the winner, or they get to keep the money. Like, I don't know. There's some things that, like, I think it needed to figure out more, but that's kind of the premise, right? And
yeah.
And she gets sucked into this game because she's, like, this shy girl and doesn't really, like, try anything with risks, and she decides to step out of her normal behavior and try it out. She ends up getting hooked up with this other guy who's playing the game, who's played by Dave Franco, and the watchers kind of enjoy them two together, so they ended up like going through a lot of their dares together in kind of escalating stunts that they have to do.
Right.
I think that like, visually, like they did a really good job, and the soundtrack I think is great. It's a fun premise, but I have problems with it. Like, one, most of the dares throughout the movie are not like super awesome, I don't think. And I think it's a big problem. Like, I saw this trailer a ton over the summer, and like all the dares are kind of in the trailer. Like,
yeah.
Most of the movie is in the trailer.
There's like, you know, like her first dare is like kiss a random stranger in a diner or whatever. And then go to the city, and then it's like, go and try on these clothes and leave the store because your clothes have been stolen. Like, so all that stuff is very much in the trailer.
Yeah. Like, everything, like the bigger ones, even like, ride a motorcycle blindfolded up to 60 miles an hour. That's in the trailer. It's like, so there wasn't a lot of surprises. Like, I was enjoying it. Like, I found it perfectly enjoyable and fine. Then I thought, like, it tries to go to like a darker place at the end. And
yeah, so that's where my problem with it is. Yeah. Like, I think it's kind of fun for, I don't know, maybe like 2/3 of the movie. And then it kind of takes this twist and introduces, like, I mean, so Dave Franco's character has some history with the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some dark past going on there. And it ultimately ends up with some, like, crazy, like, shenanigans going on. It's just like, this is silly.
Yeah, like, it felt off. Something about it felt off. And also, kind of was given away in the trailer as well, that, like, there's going to be a darker edge to this game.
Right. I do think that, like, in the trailer, you see Dave Franco's character and the other guy with the guns drawn on each other.
Yeah. And that's another problem I have with it too, is like nothing about the ending really surprised me. One, because like the trailer kind of clued me in to it, but also just because like it felt like the ending I could have came up with in 5 minutes. Like,
well, it's almost like they had a cool premise and they didn't know how to end it. Like, it's like, we don't really know where to go and how to close this out. So let's just make it like something dark and dreary, and we'll do a twist ending that just happens to come together. Because we've introduced this weird hacker group that, that stuff was nonsense.
I think at the end of this review, we'll do a little spoiler section. Cause like you could really pick it apart, but like, non-spoilery stuff, you could pick apart too. Like I was watching this going like, yeah, it's a cool idea. And this is fun. I was having fun. But like the whole time I'm like, there's certain things that stuck out where I'm like, I guess we're just supposed to like glaze over it or like not notice, but it was like just logistical things, like everyone's watching them, right? But like you're getting these weird camera angles that people are watching from. I'm like, so are there other watchers recording them? And they do kind of show that.
Yeah, there are other people that are recording them,
which is super creepy. Like, but like it just feels like there were parts where like they're sitting there talking on the carousel, they don't show anyone around them. But then their friends are watching at this party, and it's a camera angle that would be an impossible camera angle unless someone's standing there recording them. Like, I guess we're just supposed to accept that, like, people are around at all times, so that's how we get, like, these good angles of shit. But, like, that, like, I didn't buy that. There's just, like, weird things. Like, the main character, her friend Sydney, is, like, super into this game, and she's at a party, and her phone is sitting there on a charger, and she goes and picks it up. And she's got 5,000 people watching. I'm like, so 5,000 people were sitting there watching her stream of her phone charging.
Right.
Like, and nothing, you know, it was like just little things like that. Like, I mean, I guess that maybe I'm being a little unfair and picking apart, but it feels like these guys are really savvy when it comes to tech and social media, like these directors, and like they do really cool things with it, like even in this movie, but it's like at the same time, we are savvy as well, and like I'm sitting there thinking things like that. Like, why are 5,000 people watching a stream that's not on? Like, I don't know, little things like that, and yeah, and then just the ending that sticks out kind of like a sore thumb. It's like you said, like, oh, they didn't know what to do, but it felt lazy to me. It felt like the first thing they came up with for the ending was their ending. So,
yeah, and there's. There's almost too many characters, because then they try to like throw some.
There's another player.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like tension in between like her friends, and like they introduce her mom, which I mean, there's zero reason for her mom to be there at all, like
except to make you feel old because Juliette Lewis is the mom.
It's the mom, right? It's like
she would have been the Emma Roberts character.
Yeah, it's like so weird. It's like, like, why is she here? Like, there's zero purpose of her being like in the movie.
Yeah, they do nothing with the mom and spend a little too much time on her. I guess it makes it an hour and a half, but like, yeah, I was just like, what are they doing with the mom? Are they gonna do something with this? Nope.
All right, and then like her other friend, is really only in it because he's the link to this weird hacker group that like helps facilitate the ending. And it's like, really, like in 20 yeah, minutes, we're able to like figure out like everything about this, and it's all gonna unravel. It's like really weird.
Yeah. Well, we'll do real quick spoilers after. But yeah, that's definitely a huge problem I had with it. But I don't know. I mean, overall, it's like entertaining and definitely very watchable. And I think that Dave Franco and Emma Roberts are fun to watch. Like, they have good chemistry and like they're just likable people. But and then, like, it does like what it's trying to say about kind of like this voyeuristic anonymous nature of the internet. Like, I think it's kind of an interesting point that it's trying to make. Like, it's all right. But, I mean, at the same time, like, there's an episode of Black Mirror that's very similar to this called Shut Up and Dance. And I think that had more interesting ending to it, like, more interesting twists and turns. I don't know. Like, I guess if I don't want to be too hard on it, but it's just. I guess it's just disappointing because you could see it being better than it is.
Sure.
I'd probably go 3 on it.
Yeah, that's where I'm gonna go with it. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah.
But it's kind of that's kind of all it is. Like, and wow, the ending just really.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna go full spoilers on the ending now. So if you have not seen it and you're interested, skip ahead a couple minutes. But yeah, dude. All right. So the ending is basically like. They have to face off in this final dare, and it's a big shoot each other.
Yeah, basically the dare is like somebody's got to die. And it's like, well, why did all of a sudden it go super dark? Because like the
Yeah.
dares up until that point haven't really been like, I mean, I guess some of them are like there was an idiot that like the one idiot like he laid down underneath an oncoming train, which is really stupid,
Yeah.
but like
No,
none
but
of them
like.
were like super. Like they were like stupid, but they weren't like murderous, right?
Yeah, they're like, they're dangerous. And there's one, like the thing they did with the motorcycle, super dangerous. But like even when they go into the previous game that Dave Franco had played, where it's like they're showing one of their final dares was to hang from a crane, which is crazy, like absolutely super dangerous, but it wasn't mean-spirited in that. Hey,
It's
you need
like,
to kill
are
another
you
player.
crazy enough to do this? Not.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Are you
Yeah.
crazy enough to like kill someone? Like there's no hint that that's the dark angle this is going to. Outside of like they kidnap Emma Roberts' character and lock her in a fucking shipping container. Like
Yeah, because she tried to alert the police of the game. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there's a smarter, more interesting ending that out there. I don't know what it is, but I mean, this is the ending I would have came up with if I was writing this story and was just like had no one to sit there and tell me, dude, it's too obvious. Like, and it doesn't totally make sense. Like. And then the hacker friend, like, I mean, we are expected to buy that one. There's this secret headquarters inside the city where, like, these internet people hang out on the dark web. Where I was just like, are you fucking kidding? Like, as soon as I saw him go up to that building that had, like, the neon cloud sign on it, I was just like, I just, like scoffed. I was like, come on, are you
This
fucking.
is dumb.
Yeah, and then just yeah, within that like half hour period, he and his friends are able to like hack this fucking thing that's completely anonymous and dark web and blah blah blah, and somehow like end the game by making the watchers not anonymous, like
Yeah, like
attaching their name,
they reveal the names of all the people to them, and it's like,
and then
oh shit, we've been found out.
and just so that. And also that they had this showdown, where they had the final dare. It was like this giant stadium or like Coliseum or whatever the fuck, where there's
Right,
like
just like out in the middle
thousands of
of New York
people.
City, like.
Yeah, like they somehow get away with that, and that all these people would show up wearing masks and everything. It was just like it went from like being like this kind of like believable premise, sort of, like kind of a believable like. Present tense sci-fi to just like bonkers stupidville. Like it just went straight to dumbtown, Like
Yes, like
I
very
fucking
quickly.
it's too bad because like there had to been like I said, I don't know what it is, but like they could have thought of something more interesting and smaller, I think, than a giant stadium where you have to shoot each other. I don't know. It felt dumb. Like it felt way too mainstream of an ending and just stupid. Like, I don't know, it was dumb. Ruined it a little bit for me, but
Yeah,
I
totally
wasn't
agree.
expecting.
It's just
Yeah. All right, so that's nerve.
Yeah.
You had more to
no,
add about.
No, you know what? Let's just move on.
I saw a documentary. I think I mentioned last week I was going to watch it.
Okay.
It's called Life Animated. It is it's basically just about this guy who has autism. And when he was very young, the disease, whatever, he gets afflicted with autism at a young age, and he stops talking for like years. And like years later, his parents figure out that he is able to communicate through Disney movie dialogue.
Okay.
His love of Disney movies kind of helps bring him out of his shell, like to where, like at one point, he says something that is a quote from a Disney movie, and his father could tell that he was using that quote to relate something that was happening in real life, you know. And so his dad starts talking to him as a Disney character, and the kid starts talking like their son, who they haven't talked to in fucking years. Like, one, they didn't know whether he had a speech vocabulary at all, because like it happened when he was very young, like 3 years old, you know.
Right.
And all of a sudden he starts talking in full sentences, and, you know, and that's interesting. And you know, we're following around now as he's like a young man. He's like, I think he's in his 20s or something, and he's progressed a lot. Like, he could talk outside of Disney quotes now. Like, he could have conversations. He's still, obviously, you would know that he has developmental problems if you talk to him, but he could hold a conversation. And so, like, it kind of follows him on this, like, in the present, it follows him on this path of moving out of his parents' house to have some sort of independent life in, like, an assisted living facility. Like, kind of like, you know, kind of like living in an apartment with, like, an apartment building where other people in the apartment building also are autistic and stuff. And there's people there to, like, kind of help them out. I don't know, it's kind of interesting, and it's kind of cool. Like, they tell a lot of this kid's story through, like, original animation. Like, they will, like, start talking about something, and then they'll have, like, an animated thing to show it off, like, what they're talking about. It's interesting, too, how he uses Disney films to, like, relate to everything, and kind of makes you reflect on, like, you know, your own love for Disney movies and your own love for, like, movies in general. But, I mean, that's about as far as I'm willing to go with this, because I heard some, like, fantastic praise for this movie, and I was not blown away by it.
Huh.
I pretty much have said everything positive I would say about it at this point.
Okay.
It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't explain autism, I feel, very well.
Just kind of a story about this guy who,
yeah,
this is like this weird thing that a way he communicated through his disability.
Yeah, like everything in it is, you know, somewhat interesting, and okay, that's cool. Like, I like Disney movies too, but it doesn't feel like his journey really goes anywhere. Like, I'd say the big ending is he gives a speech in front of some people about what it's like to be autistic, but like, I don't feel like he has developed enough to a point where, like, I didn't find this speech very insightful or meaningful or anything. It was just kind of someone with a mental handicap trying to talk to a crowd, and, like, good for him for doing that. Like,
right.
A lot of people who are not mentally handicapped would not be able to do that. But his speech was not, like, super riveting or, you know, anything like that. And maybe I'm being hard on the guy because he is autistic. Like, it's hard for him to communicate, but, like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like at the end of the movie, I was just like, okay, what was so amazing about that? Like, the praise that I had heard about it was like, I thought it was going to be one of the best documentaries I've seen this year, and not even close. Like, it was fine. It was watchable, but nothing earth shattering. And like, I'm not like sitting there telling you run out and watch it. Like, honestly, like, if they put it up on streaming for free on Netflix, sure, give it a go. But, like, unless you're like hardcore into documentaries like me, I just don't think, like, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I was in a bad mood. Maybe I'm just a mean guy this week, but it's fine. I'll give it 3 stars, but like nothing earth shattering whatsoever. Like, I've definitely seen better documentaries this year. Sure. So I don't know. And like I said, like, I would like to, I don't feel like I have a total grasp on what autism is. And I don't feel like the movie improved my knowledge on it in really any way. So, oh, well, I mean,
yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add there. You didn't really sell me on it, so I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
And I'm not trying to sell. I'm not trying to sell you on it. It's perfectly fine. If you see it on streaming, maybe give it a shot. But like, I just didn't find it TV special. It wasn't what the other critics had made it out to be. But at least in my opinion. But
fair enough.
Other than that, I've been just watching a lot of playoff baseball, which is now over. So now I have my life back, kind of.
Yeah, well, I did not catch any of the playoff baseball, but I heard it was a fantastic series and a fantastic Game 7, so.
Oh, my God. You didn't catch any of Game 7, huh?
No.
I mean, that Game 7, that is some great television right there. There's a 5-star for you. Like, oh, my God. That game last night had everything. Like, and early on, we run up a big lead, and I'm saying the Cubs.
Right.
Run up a big lead, and you know, you're feeling like, we got this, oh my God, like 108 years, blah, blah, blah. This is like, everyone's like, I was watching it in a garage with some friends. Everyone's just like, we were like celebrating. And then they tie it up. You're like, holy shit, Cubs are going to blow this again. Like, we got this close all the way to Game 7. Like, and then there's a rain delay. There's extra innings. And we finally eked out the win at the end there. Like, man, that was it was an amazing game. But yeah, anyways, other than that, other than watching like Cubs every night for like the last 2 weeks, I've been working my way through Black Mirror. I know I mentioned it last week, but
like, you've watched
everybody.
All right.
No, I still have like 3 or 4 left, okay, at least. But everyone just go watch that goddamn show. It's probably my favorite show since Breaking Bad. Like, I fucking love it. Like, I have not seen an episode I have not liked, but say you don't like an episode, it's anthology. So any other, you know,
right, other episode you might like, it's, yeah. Right.
And each episode is like, I would say, on the level of quality of a like feature film. And some of them are the length of feature film. Like, there's an episode that's 1.5 hours long. So, just cool, man. Like, I'm trying to think of like any other episodes. Oh, and then I mentioned this to you. It's like the first two seasons of this show came out, you know, years ago, and Netflix picked it up for a third season. There's episodes early on, like there's the pilot episode. The Prime Minister of Britain fucks a pig in it, and then years later, we found out that David Cameron fucked a pig. And then there's an episode where this like reality TV star starts just basically talking shit, and he becomes like a big populist, you know, politician because he's talking like he doesn't know anything about politics. I'm like, this is Donald Trump, essentially, like,
right.
I was like, I'm
predicted the future.
Yeah. Well, now I'm fully expecting like all the other like technology that's in it to come true as well. And some of the stuff I would really like. I guess I'll tell you about two episodes really quick, and I won't totally spoil them, and or I won't tell you which ones they are because anyways. But what in one, the premise is, and these are all kind of like near future, like. Like, you know, a couple years in the future, this is what your life's going to be like. And one, you could have this thing implanted in your eye. It's like a camera, and it just records everything and backs it up so that, like, you could just review anything that you've seen in your life, like from years ago, with you know, not with memory, but it's like essentially like having crystal clear memory because you have video backup of everything you've seen. And the story of that one is this guy kind of becomes obsessed with how his wife acts with another guy at a party, and he keeps replaying the way she like laughs at something, a joke that he says, and he's like, she fucking that guy? Does she like that guy? Like, it takes the technology and applies it to human failures in a really smart way. It's one of the better episodes. And in the very best episode, I won't tell you which episode it is, I won't tell you everything about it, but the technology exists that you could upload your consciousness to this cloud-based server so that when you die, after your body dies, your brain gets to still keep on living in kind of a virtual reality. And that episode is fucking phenomenal, dude. Like, it's one of the best things I've seen all year by far. So I
definitely want to watch that show. So
yeah, like, I mean, everything I'm telling you should be like, you should be having like flags go, or, you
know, oh yeah,
it's big fucking lights going off. Like, oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, like, it's just everything, great. Everything you've said about it and everything I've heard about it, like, definitely sounds like it'll be right up my alley.
Yeah.
So it is on my list of things to watch next. After I wrap up Atlanta and Better Things, which are two FX comedies that are currently ongoing. So,
yeah, did you want to talk about either of those before we wrap it up?
Sure. Or? So we talked about Divorce, I think, last week, like briefly. Yeah.
Are you still watching that?
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, it's slow paced, but like the jokes are, they pay off.
The guy is so funny in it.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
he's absurd. Atlanta and Better Things are very similar in that they're not like your traditional sitcom, but they're, you know, it's dealing with more down to earth things, more realistic, but like when the jokes hit, they're really kind of funny. Atlanta often takes like, so Atlanta is from Donald Glover, who I don't know much about prior. Like, I know he was on Community, but it was a show I never really watched. I saw him he was in The Martian. He was really good in that. But outside of that, like, I don't know much about him other than that he's recently been cast as Lando Calrissian in the Star Wars movie that's going to be coming out. But anyway, he's worked in comedy before. He plays this guy Ernie, or Ernest, I guess, and his cousin, who's a drug dealer and also a rapper, has kind of blown up on the Atlanta hip hop scene for his song Paperboy. And Ernie decides he wants to be this guy's manager. So it follows these two kind of as they go along, and he's trying to figure out how to be a manager on the fly, and while also kind of being next to homeless. Like, his job sucks. He's making like $5.15 an hour plus commission, but he never makes commission because he can't sell anything. He has a daughter with his ex-girlfriend. He kind of lives, he squats there occasionally, and it's really well written, and the jokes kind of like bounce in and out. Like, sometimes it's really serious, but then like something absurd happens.
That's what I had heard about Atlanta, and I tend to like that mix. Like, so I've been interested to check out that one.
It's like, cause like, and it's so the episode I just finished watching, and not to spoil anything here, but it deals with his daughter's mom, and it really follows her. She works in a school. She ends up going out with an old friend, and she gets baked, like, totally toasted. And when she wakes up in the morning, she has a text from her work reminding her that there's a drug test that day. So the entire episode is like her trying to figure out how to fake her way out of this drug test. and she's like squeezing pee out of her daughter's like diapers, and she ends up taping pee to her leg as she goes in, and like she has all sorts of problems and shit goes down, and it's like, but it ends on this like in most comedies it would be like, haha, that's really funny, she got away with it, but at the end like she gets fired. It's like real life, like she fucked up, and like that's what happened, and it's like
real consequences.
Things happen, like it's like crazy shit happens to us in our daily life, and that's kind of what this is. It's just, you know, it deals with it from the perspective of you know, young black people in Atlanta. Like, yeah, it's just an interesting show. It's real, like I think some of the writing is really funny. Like just one time when he's taking his girlfriend Van out, he has like no money. He's trying to take her to this club because like they have half price specials at happy hour, and they come up on this parking lot. This guy is holding a lightsaber and he like stole a vest out of a trash can, and he's like trying to get people to pay to park like across the street from this. And he's like, is this your lot? He's like, no, like I got this out of a trash can, and this is a lightsaber. Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. it's like a bird. It's just nuts. So yeah, I think it's really funny. It's worth a watch if, you know, if you're into like a slower paced, more realistic comedy. And Better Things is very similar in that regard, where it follows a single mother of three. She's an actress, voice talent in Hollywood. And it just kind of deals with her raising her kids and the absurdity of, you know, being a parent like today and trying to do it as a single mom and having a crazy mom, and your kids are kind of nuts as well, but you know, she's trying to do the best she can for them and still kind of have a life.
Female version of Louie is kind of what I've heard.
Yeah. I guess Louis C.K. is, he directed the pilot episode, and he, she's worked on Louie before, which
I love her. Actually, I love her. So. Oh, you never watched Louie?
No, but I've watched five, six episodes of this out of the eight, and I love, like, she's great. She's hysterically funny.
Dude, I love that actress. Like, she's been in some other things too. I want to say she was on Rescue Me for a little bit, but maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm mixing her up.
But she's I'm wrong. She's been on a lot of stuff, but
she's great. She's just really funny and smart. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I just found out she's 50 years old, but she's kind of good looking. Like,
she's really good looking. I had no idea she was 50 years old. So
no, I was like, mind. I was really surprised. I was really expecting her to be like maybe like early 40s or something. Like,
yeah.
Like, but I was like, right, she's hot.
No, she is. She definitely is, and that's like mind blowing. Like, that puts her up there with like, I don't know. There's, dude, we're getting old. We're gonna suddenly start looking at 50-year-old women. Great. Going, that's a beautiful woman. Crazy.
I mean, I just did it.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she was she's been on like Californication and stuff like that.
That's what she was on. That's the show she was on. I've seen her on, I think. Yeah.
But excellent actress. I find that, you know, being a parent, and like I'm obviously not a mom, but like a lot of the encounters she's having with her kids are, you know, they're relatable.
You're a parent, yeah.
It's like there's stuff that's relatable, and just like in general, like life, like it's stuff that is all relatable and very, very similar with Atlanta. Like, you know, just trying to get by, like just, you know, job sucks, like work blows, like it's like, you know, there's lots of things that you can relate to in both these comedies, and I like them both a lot, and I'm burning through them. Like, I started watching them like 2 days ago, and now
when you told me,
completely caught up. So
yeah, when you told me about them, I think you said you'd only seen the pilot, so
yeah and like I'm now like six episodes into both, and I think Atlanta has 9 episodes right now, and there's like one more, and Better Things has 8 currently. They're both 10 episode seasons. So,
Are they both half hours or are they hours?
Yeah, they're both half hours, which makes it really easy
Nice.
to watch. Like, you can sit
Yeah.
down and watch. Like, they're like 23 minutes long, so
I think
yeah,
that's.
definitely worth a watch if you're looking for something different. So.
No, I've been meaning to check both of them out. I actually forgot Better Things like was even a thing, but once you like reminded me of it, I was like, oh yeah, I wanted to watch that. You should give Louie a try if you ever get a chance. I fell off that show, but I regret it because it never like dipped in quality. There was no reason I stopped watching it. I just did accidentally.
Okay.
So I'm way behind, but like even just like I still remember the plot of the pilot of Louis, and it's fucking hilarious. So I don't know, give that a shot one day. I mean, if you like Better Things, I would imagine you probably really like Louis.
Yeah, I'll give that a go. So we have episode 100. This is our next episode. I'm not sure what we're gonna do, but
Yeah, I do not have a lot of movies on the horizon that I'm going to watch either, so maybe we'll come up with something special for 100.
yeah, I'm gonna try and see Doctor Strange, but may hold that till after episode 100, depending upon what we choose to do.
Yeah, I have zero interest to see that movie, but my girlfriend kind of wanted to see it. And like, she wants to see that and Fantastic Beasts, and both of those, I don't care. But maybe I'll see one of them. But yeah, I think we'll have to think of something special for episode 100.
Sounds good.
We'll see what that is.
Yeah,
It'll be a
I'm not sure.
surprise to us all.
I also want to see Hacksaw Ridge, but I'm probably not going to get out and see that, so.
I like kind of want to see it, but like I don't love that actor, and I think the premise is a little weird. But like,
That guy who doesn't goes into battle and
it's like,
doesn't
what is he doing? Like, be a medic or whatever. Like, medics don't fight, right? Like,
Well, I mean, I guess they're trained to, but I mean, like
yeah, they could
medics
in a
go into
pinch.
battle.
They probably have a gun on them or
Yeah.
whatever. But like, they're there to drag your ass off the
Yeah.
battlefield, or so
Basically,
I don't,
keep
and
you up.
I don't think that's the case here. I think he's like running into
No,
battle, like,
he might just be like a straight up soldier that doesn't have a gun. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's based on a true story, but
yeah, just
I don't know.
weird.
That was one that I was hearing some buzz about. And Mel Gibson does know how to make a for kind of hate using this word because it's so overused, but a visceral war story. I mean,
He's
he
a good director.
yeah.
I mean, I hate to give the guy credit because he's been kind of shunned or whatever. Like, everyone hates him, but like, I don't know, dude. Like, I've always liked him as an actor, and like, dude, Braveheart was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Like,
Yeah.
it's a great movie, So that's why I have interest in it, but it still seems so weird to me. But.
It's a strange premise, but we'll see. But we'll try and come up with something, I guess, for next week.
Hopefully we do.
I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be texting back and forth. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we'll be back next week.
With a very special mystery episode 100.
Right.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.